Shalom Aleichem, this is Rabbi Kovacs. We have a momentous day here in the Mishnah Yomi Shir. We are in the very final Mishnah at the very end of Nedarim, and then we'll be turning over and beginning Nazir. So here we are, chapter 11, Mishnah 12. Barishona, originally, Hayu Omrim, they would say, meaning we accepted as halacha, Shalosh Nashim, there are three women, three types of women, Yodzot, they can leave their marriage for notlot ketuva, and they take their entire ketuva amount. Meaning we would have the husband, the bezdin, the court, would instruct the husband to give his wife the divorce and her full ketuva payment. The first example is ha'omeret, the woman says tameya ani lach. Tameya ani means impure, lach to you. Now she doesn't mean she touched a sheretz or some other source of ritual impurity. What she means is, God forbid, she was violated by a different man, and she is a Mrs. Cohen. She is the wife of a Cohen, an Ashes Cohen Shenensa, who is taken advantage of, cannot remain married to Mr. Cohen. And the second category is Shemayim, the heavens, Beini Uveinach, bear witness between me and you. Now, that's a bit vague and probably on purpose. This is a woman who goes into the court and makes a public claim that her husband is unable to perform his manly duties and unable to bear children. Now, it's interesting because women are not obligated to perform the mitzvah of pru urvu, to be fruitful and to multiply. However, that obligation is really on the man. However, if she says she wants to have children for company to take care of her when she's elderly, then we would definitely accept her opinion, her claim here. You know, she's the one with her husband and she would know. And we would allow her to get a divorce and get remarried to someone who can father children. The third category is a woman who says, Netula ani mina Yehudim. I am removed from all of the Jews. This sounds like a nether, but it's really, she's saying a euphemistic phrase, meaning to have intimate relations is painful for her. So she is banning with a nether all relations with all Jewish men. Now her husband is in that category. So such a marriage could not go on, and the court would have the husband give a get, give a divorce, and pay her up the ketuvah. Hazru lomar, but the Mishnah says, then they returned to say, meaning basically they changed their mind. So originally they held that we believe these women, they wouldn't come to court and make a public claim that's somewhat embarrassing or private and personal in nature. These aren't typically things that are discussed in a public forum. For a woman to bring it to the public forum, it's very likely to be true. But Chazru Lomar, they went back and they realized, Shalo Tehe Isha Notenet Enea Be'acher, that they didn't want a woman to put her eyes on someone else, to see a man that she wanted to marry instead of her husband, Umekakelet Obaila, and destroy the relationship with her first husband so she can remarry someone else. So they saw this was a possibility, this could even be happening through women making such claims that would destroy their first marriage, not because it was true, but to allow them to marry somebody else. So they said, Ela, what do we do now? Ela ha'omera tameya aniloch. If she, Mrs. Cohen, says that she had been taken advantage of, tavi royal devreya. She needs to have some sort of proof, some sort of support for this claim. She said, Shemayim beni levenoch. There's private things occurring in the bedroom and he can't father children. Yasu derech bakosha. So they should do it through a bakosha is please. Now, this may mean that if there's some evidence to this, the court would ask the husband, not force him, but ask him to give a divorce, or it could mean they try to reconcile. There's marriage counseling in the Yerushalmi. They bring an opinion that they would make a big feast, that the husband and wife together, they'd make a big feast and have a simcha and sort of make like what we call like a renewal of vows, like make another party, like another wedding party, another marriage party to sort of like restart the mazel of their marriage. Netula ani mina Yehudim, and the final one where she's making a vow not to live intimately with any Jewish man, yofer chelko, then the husband can mefer the part of this vow that applies to him, teimishmatu, and can continue the marriage. Obviously, they might need to consult a rabbi and a doctor and a gynecologist to make sure things are okay. Tehei netula mina Yehudim, but the other Jews, the netter would still apply. Just for him, it would be mufer. Mazel Tov, Bli Neder, we are done with Nedarim, and on to Nazir. Now, there's an interesting thing. The Tosfot points out in the Gemara, and the Rambam points out in the Parish Mishnayot, that the Mishnayot are kind of, sort of, out of order. And the Gemara, at the beginning of Sota, explains that what we do is we do Nedarim, Nazir, Sota. And at the beginning of Sota, the Gemara explains, Really, Nazir should come after Sota, because as we'll see, Sota was a very embarrassing ritual that would either clear a woman's name of infidelity, or she would die from the May Sota, the beverage that was prepared for her. So when someone saw such a thing, they saw a woman being disgraced and perishing in a horrible public manner, they would make a vow of Nazirut, which we'll see involves abstaining from wine. Because it's assumed, in most cases, some indulgence in wine brings people into lightheadedness and infidelity. So really, the order of the Masechtot should be Sota first and then Nazir. But since Nazir is so related to Nedarim, we did Nedarim and then Nazir right after it. And as we've mentioned, Nazir is a specific kind of Neder with its own specific rules. But we're going to start off with some very similar concepts that we saw at the very beginning of Nedarim. Nazir, kol kinui nazirut kinazirut, ini kinuyim. Now, kinuyim was nicknames. We learned at the beginning of Nedarim, sort of slang words or translated words, nicknames. So anything that's a nickname for nazirut is like nazirut. Ha'omer ahei, a man says, I will be. Now, this is actually what we call a yad, a handle, not a kinui, not a nickname. What's happening here is he sees a nazir walking by. He says, I will be like him. Hare zeh nazir. This is effective. It is a binding vow of nazirut. O ahei nave. He says, I want to be pretty. And he's pointing to a nazir's pretty long hair. Nazir. That's effective as a nazir. If he says nazik. Now, nazik is a kinui, a slang term for nazir, or naziach, or paziach. Hare zeh nazir. These are binding terms that also mean nazir. Like we had konam was a slang for korban back in Nedarim. He says, Hareini kazeh, I am like this. Now, if there's a nazir walking by or he's pointing to a nazir, then that's binding. Or he says, Hareini misalsel, I will, or Hareini mechalkel. Now, misalsel is a way of sort of dividing up the hair when someone has long hair. Or mechalkel is like arranging the hair into tresses when someone has a lot of hair. Or harei alai lesholoch peira, I will send out my growth of hair. Harei zeh nazir. So all of these lishonot, all of these phrases referring to growing your hair long, that's a nazir thing to do. That's not a regular thing to do. They didn't have rock stars back then. It was a nazir with long hair. It wasn't anyone else. Harei alai tziporim. If he says, behold, I will have to bring birds. Now, he could be referring to the birds that a nazir brings if he gets contaminated. So here, Rabbi Meir Omer Nazir. Rabbi Meir says he's referring to nazir. It's a binding vow of nazirot. Chachamim Amar, the other sages say, eino nazir. He's not a nazir. It could be birds for something else. Yashar Kohachem, Mazel Tov, and welcome to the wide world of Nazirut. Good Shabbos.